Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Today I want us to think about this question. Why did God send His Son as a baby? You know, I think there's a textbook answer to that question, and that's simply that in order for Jesus to be our perfect Savior, to be our sacrifice on the cross, he had to know what our experience was as a man, as a person. And that complete experience starts with being a baby. So I think that's the textbook answer to this question. But I think there's more to this question as well. And it's just in the thought of thinking about babies. Babies amaze us, don't they? I mean, just think about that. Babies amaze us. You know, we've got one being very vocal this morning, you know, and people often ask me, you know, does that bother you when you preach? And it never does. Because for me, it truly is the sound of life and future for a congregation. So if your babies are sleeping, pinch them and let them sound off and herald that bright future that babies really do bring for us. But, you know, think about it. Millions of miles are driven every year to visit new babies. You know, how many of you have made those trips to go see a new baby? You know, especially us grandparents. And I can remember the millions of miles just Kathy's parents traveled to come and see our babies up in Minnesota. But why do we do that? Well, because babies amaze us. They're so precious to us. And if you think about it, this happened with Jesus as well. Nearby shepherds and magi, wise men who were far away, were summoned by angels. You know, and we sang about it. I love these songs that we sing. You know, I'm excited that Christmas falls on a Sunday this year because, you know, we get together and we spend all this time with family and just wonderful memories. I just love this time of year. And if it wasn't for Christmas being on Sunday, I wouldn't be together with the family here. And so I really appreciate this and appreciate you being here today because of that. But isn't it interesting that this traveling to see babies was such a point when Jesus was born? And the words, Dave, thank you for the songs you selected today. You know, come all ye faithful, come let us adore Him. And boy, did they. Boy, did they. You know, with each birth, again, this idea that babies amaze us, with each birth, how many times, think about it, parents, when you first held that newborn child of yours, that son or daughter, and, you know, some of the first thoughts, at least for me as a parent, was already thinking about, you know, when they'd be old enough to leave the home, you know, and you know, the careers they would have, the people they would marry, the futures they would have, and thinking that, you know, maybe this little bundle, you know, in my arm was well, it wasn't a question of was it? But it was the thought, how were they going to change the world? How were they going to make the world better? I mean, we had those dreams for our children. And Mary did too. You know, both Mary and Joseph had visitors come to them to talk to them about this special birth that was going to take place. The coming of the Savior, this Jesus Christ. And, you know, the angel explained it to Mary not to be concerned. And in a dream, Joseph was told not to be concerned about it, that it was okay. And this here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19 is a time when, you know, people are coming to see the baby, to adore Him. Those shepherds have come and others have come and the word is spreading and they're excited and there's signs in the heavens and it's just an amazing time, not just for Mary and Joseph, but for the world. And I just love this statement. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary was a mother, ladies, just like you are. who held her baby and thought about her baby's future. Now, this was a little different. God had said, Mary, your baby is going to do some amazing things. That's why one of my favorite seasonal songs is, Mary, Did You Know? You know, and I get teary-eyed every time that I hear it because I think of this verse and the thought that this young mother had. You know, I mean, if anybody knew that their baby was going to change the world, Mary did. Now, did she fully understand it yet? Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But maybe. Maybe. How amazing. How amazing. But again, babies amaze us. Babies amaze us. That's a big baby. Kind of a family joke. Isn't it interesting? We're so amazed with babies that hospitals build special rooms just to put them on display. Because what do we want to do? We want to go and look at them. We want to adore them. We want to, and along with their parents, we want to think about their futures. Absolute purity and hope. That's what babies represent. And I think as we look and as we fantasize, if you will, and pray and hope and wish for newborn babies, you know, just everything better for them. When we're in the presence of babies, I think we get this feeling that it's almost like a purification process for ourselves when we're around babies. But we have to remember as well that we need to be reminded, and I don't mean to bring this down, but we need to be reminded that I truly believe we come into this world absolutely pure and faultless. But that changes. That changes. And we refer to that, you know, that time of accountability where God now holds us accountable for the decisions we're making. And we're born into a problem. We're not born into sin, but we're born into a problem. But as I processed that and thought about that today, I wanted to remind us is our problem does become an opportunity. Future. Our problem does become an opportunity. And it's the opportunity to enter into an amazing relationship with God that will last an eternity. And I'd like to suggest to you, without the problem, the opportunity might not be there for that. Kind of an interesting way to look at it. We're amazed by babies. Everything they do is cute. Now, my family's upset with me because I'm not using all pictures of my grandson. And I just don't think that's fair to you, that I just, you know, do nothing but show you pictures of my grandson. Babies amaze us. Even when they cry, we think they're cute, don't we? Even when they mess their pants, we think they're cute. We do. Oh, what did you do for me? Did you make me something? You know, we do that. If I did that, you'd take me to a home. But a baby doesn't. Oh, you're so cute. They bring us incredible joy. They let us dress them up like monkeys. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but I just thought it was cute. This might be the scene today if you... Earth's angels, aren't they? Again, just babies amaze us. They're so precious. And it just brings me back to that question. Why did God send His Son to us as a baby? To amaze us. To humble us. To remind us of the real power. It's Him. How many pictures do you have of that, of your kids like that? Not a mean bone in their bodies, most of the time. They know what they want, don't they? What's the first word every baby speaks? If it's not mommy, it's no. Or daddy. They know what they want. Sometimes it's just a good old rib. That's my grandson. Okay, say it. The event. Today, the world is thinking about... We're thinking about Christmas. You guys know me well enough. I've shared enough of this. I just love this time of year. I love the traditions. I love the memories that are made and the things that we do. Kathy and I were a little bit depressed this morning because this is the first Christmas we haven't had a kid in our house ever. Except, maybe, you know, the first 5 years of our marriage. And so there's a song that is blazed every Christmas morning over our stereo system that's pretty obnoxious. And but it was always, the kids, I think, look forward to hearing it because it was kind of the sign, okay, it's time to come on, time to, you know, start all those Christmas morning traditions. Well, Kathy, you know, awkwardly through sleepy eyes, found the CD and put it on there and cranked up the stereo and played it, and no kids ran out this morning, you know. But it's an amazing event. It's an amazing time. Most of us call this event Christmas. And for a lot of us, it is a special time. And I find it kind of interesting, and I just kind of want to make this point, is sometimes we get a little, I don't know how I want to say it. There's a lot, let's just say it this way. There's a lot of different opinions and traditions and practices that come around this event. And, you know, we really don't know the exact date that the birth of Jesus took place on. And really, it's probably more about tradition that we celebrate it today than it is a good Bible study that we figured it out that it's today. Because, quite honestly, we haven't figured that out. But the bottom line is it's a real event. It really happened. And it's appropriate for us to think about the birth of Jesus and to adore Him. And I hope that's what we're doing today. And I hope that's what you as a family are doing with your families today. You know, sometimes we get wrapped up and maybe a little pushed out of shape a little bit about the commercialism of the season and everything that's kind of happened. But you know what? I love that statement, you know, the reason for the season. I think this is an opportunity for us to speak to people about what really matters. You know, sometimes people want to argue this point up here that many of the traditions that we celebrate today are steeped in pagan roots and things like that. Well, you know what? They are. You know? But as I kind of thought about that, I thought, isn't that a great mission of the church, to take things that are unholy and to make them better? I don't know if I want to go to the point to say holy. That's probably not appropriate. But to connect them to something that is holy. I mean, if you can take something that's unholy and use that to teach somebody about Jesus Christ, and that leads them to the obedience of the gospel, and that leads them to spending an eternity with God in heaven, how can that be a bad thing? You see, right now, probably except maybe for Easter, the world is closer and more open, I think, to the idea of who Jesus Christ really is. And I'm like, how come we're not taking advantage of that opportunity? We need to take advantage of that opportunity. We need to be excited about what the world is taking some time to do today and help them take it another step and make it something that they celebrate every day of their life, to make Jesus somebody that they adore every day of their life and not just one day out of the year. Oh, thank you for saying amen to that. Here's another way to think about this. None of us in this room who are baptized believers were ready to make that decision to get baptized, to be obedient to the gospel, until we learn how we were connected to the Word, how we were connected to God. In another way to say it, we weren't ready to do that until we realized that Jesus address our problems and our issues and our concerns until it became personal. In other words, one of the challenges that we have in being obedient to the Great Commission is we have to help people get connected to the Word, connected to God, connected to Jesus, to see the value of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you can do that, you can't stop them from being obedient. It's what happened to you. Think about it. I remember my neighbor one time after I had baptized his wife and thinking, boy, you know, now we're going to get Bob baptized. And the point that he made to me, he says, I don't know about this Bible. You know, it's just not relevant. It doesn't say anything about nuclear weapons. He really said that. And you know what? He's right. Can't find the word nuclear in the Scriptures. But what Bob was really saying is, I'm having troubles connecting. I'm having trouble seeing how this word makes a difference to me. And until he does, he's never going to be obedient to it. And I think December 25th creates an amazing opportunity to connect people to the Word, to connect people to God. I want you to be aware of this as well. God is the original gift giver. He is the original gift giver. And we think about that, the gift of the baby Jesus, of course. Today, as we give and receive our gifts, let's not forget what God has given us. A Savior. But He's given us so much more than that. Along with His Son to die on a cross for us, Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as well. When you study, and this is kind of an introduction to some lessons we're going to be looking at our spiritual gifts. When you study what Ephesians 4 says, and talking about this grace, this gift that's given to us, Paul is pretty specific here in Ephesians 4 about the gifts given to leadership and the responsibility that leadership has to prepare people for works of service so that we can encourage one another and build each other up. And he talks more about this in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 as well. That's your assignment this week. Read these two chapters. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Wonderful chapters that talk about gifts that you've been given from God. And what we want to be studying and looking at in the next couple of weeks is, do you know what your gift is from God? How has God blessed you? And in fact, are you using that as God has hoped you would by giving you that gift? Because God has a purpose behind the gifts that He gives. And we're going to be looking at that. God commands us to share the gift. But I want to ask us this morning as we wrap this up, have you given the most precious gift that you can to your loved ones? Have you? There's some loved ones in your life that haven't yet received Jesus. Don't forget that gift. Have you shared the gospel? Have you shared the gospel yet with those that have yet to receive that? Let's not lose the opportunity that's afforded by this event, by Christmas, to share a gift that will never be matched. It can't be matched. But a question that I have to ask to some of you anyways today is, have you unwrapped God's gift to you? We unwrap that gift through our obedience to the gospel, through baptism. You know, what good does it do to wrap up that gift and throw it under the tree or whatever your tradition might be, whether it's at Christmas or a birthday or whenever you might give gifts, if you're a gift giver? How would you feel if you gave somebody that pretty package and they never unwrapped it? It's the same way God feels, I think, at least to a degree, when we don't respond to His greatest gift, His Son, His Son's sacrifice on that cross. We adore the baby Jesus today, but the rubber meets the road when He's nailed to the cross. That's when the gift really matters. The gift is meaningless unless you receive it. Today, if you're here and you need to unwrap your gift, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?